St. Valentine was an early saint of the church, we know. The story of his martyrdom led to him being in prison for his faith. And eventually, even though he was jailed for some time, and spent some time with the jailer's daughter, Julia, he taught her many things from the Bible, taught her about his faith. Eventually, they pleaded for clemency, but Valentine was martyred for his faith on the 14th of February. Hence, we have St. Valentine's Day. And as I was thinking what I could speak on tonight, I thought perhaps I'd go to one of the books of the Bible that has a great deal of romance in it, a great deal that has to do with the love between a man and a woman, and the sense in which this book, within the canon of Scripture, has a relevant message for us today, I believe. So I'm going to read from chapter 2 of the Song of Songs. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valley. Like the lily among thorns is my darling among the maidens. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. He has taken me to the banquet hall, and his banner over me is love. Strengthen me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am faint with love. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the doers of the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Listen, my lover. Look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My lover is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My lover spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come, the cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit, the blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. My dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding place of the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. My lover is mine and I am his. He browses among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee, turn, my lover, and be like a gazelle or like a young stag upon the rugged hills. May God bless to us our reading from his holy word. Amen. It was a few years ago when the South Wales Baptist Association had a lay preaching group that I was invited to lead one of them. It was in Orchard Place in Neath. And in the series of lectures and things that were going on in those days, each one of us ministers was given a book from which we would base what we were going to say. I pulled the short straw because I had the Song of Solomon. And therefore, it was a time when I looked into this book really deeply and found asked myself, what can I say about what is recorded here? Because it's quite simply a book that is full of passion, it is full of love, it is full of romantic praising, which sometimes might be a little bit embarrassing for a Sunday night congregation to hear. But yet it is a really profound book, it really is. And it speaks, of course, of Solomon's experience. King Solomon is the author, and he is someone here who is expressing his love for this maiden he met on one of his journeys. She is one who responded to his love. The first chapter deals with their marriage, and the second chapter speaks about their relationship, one with each other, which sometimes go into an area which is perhaps a little too much. You know what I mean? But the reality is, here is something that is in the canon of Scripture, and we must believe that it is in the canon of Scripture, it is for our benefit. We can learn from it, and we can teach from it, and we can perhaps glean from it what God is saying through this word. And that's why it's such an important word, I believe. So I got through the day quite well, and I'm very pleased to say what I did research at that time has been a great help for me to prepare this message tonight. So what can we say first of all? It's a book of seven poems written by Solomon and written by his wife, his former lover. They speak of their married life together. They share much intimate details of their relationship, of their wedding night. They speak of their continued life together. Now, behind the story, of course, is the story of Solomon himself. Solomon, you remember, was the one who built the Temple of Jerusalem. He was a king, and Solomon's temple was one of great grandeur and splendor. And there's a story of him going to different parts of his kingdom where he did meet with this young, beautiful peasant girl. When they met together, she was very embarrassed and ran away. But she caught Solomon's eye. And so what he did next was to dress as a humble shepherd and went back and met with her. And from there, their relationship developed. "Come back with me to Jerusalem," he said, and that's what she did. They were married, and the rest, as we say, is history. And that's why we find here those expressions of love given and received. Solomon is speaking at times, his wife is speaking at times, his former lover is speaking at times, and we find there the sort of content of this particular book. So what can we say about it in terms of historical perspective? Well, first of all, we can say it's a most beautiful portrait of love, tender, poetic, and overflowing with desire. But it's much more than an ancient response, ancient romance. Because throughout history, the church has tried to analyse this book in terms of what it says in the days in which we are living. And when we lift it out of its original context, which we can do, because we believe that God leads in the power of the Holy Spirit, for us to discern what Scripture says. And through the ages, there have been those who have studied this word and seen from it a great delight and joy and a great anticipation of what love is all about. Not only human love, but divine love, which is intermingled with it. And that's important for us to remember tonight. In our own experience, we have a hymn in our hymn book, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly." Thus in the Welsh tradition, we remember the words of Anne Griffiths. "Rosin saron yw ei enw, gwyn a gridog teg ei bryd." So we can see that aspect has emerged with the history of the church over the years. But what does it say to us? Well, first of all, it says about the beauty of belonging. This woman says, "I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valley." Now, we must remember that roses and lilies weren't in the times of Solomon the same as they are today. They were common flowers, flowers that would emerge on the wayside, like daffodils and other wayside flowers we see around in our land. They weren't considered to be special flowers, and she considers herself to be among those. She is not someone who claims any splendor for herself. She sees herself as someone quite ordinary. And yet she recognizes that she has been taken from the order into the extraordinary, because she has now been claimed by Solomon to be his own. And from that there came the great depths of love they showed to each other. They belong to one another. "I am my own, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine." And Solomon responds, "Like a lily among thorns is my darling among the young women." So here we find a recognition of the love that developed between them, a love that was real and profound. And from that we can see and emerge the amazing love of God. Throughout history, analysing this book, many have seen in Jewish history that here is an analogy, if you like, of God's love for his people, for the Israelite people. And in the emergence of the Christian faith, it has been seen again of the love that Christ had for his church and the church has for him. And it's in that context that this particular book becomes real for us. The beauty of belonging, the beauty of having a relationship with God that is based in love. To know that in our insecurity, like this woman felt, as being just a side flower of no great significance, that she was loved profoundly by Solomon, the way that Christ loves us. And that's the reality that we see emerging from this story. Because it is not only a story that has to do with a personal relationship here, but it explains to us in the power of the Holy Spirit the love that God has for us. We belong to him. And when we think of the analogy, it's wonderful, isn't it, when you think about it? Because the word of God says that God first loved us. How did he love with us? He came and sought us to be his bride. The church is his bride. The church's one foundation is from heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own love he bought her, and for her life he died. That's the reality of God's love. That's the certainty we find within this initial truth of this relationship here. Isn't it something that was just restricted here, just to the woman and to Solomon, who they loved each other dearly, but there was the profound expression of that love in so many different ways. And sometimes it is quite revealing. My lover is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My lover spoke and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me." Now we can look at that and we can see it in the human terms, but we can always look at it in the spiritual terms. That we are loved by God despite our wandering, despite our ordinariness. Like the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Not beautiful people, people who have been separated by God from our sin. But God has loved us and given himself for us. And he has come to seek us and he has found us in Christ. And we can go on our way rejoicing because of that. We can feel the joy that these people know in their love for one another. We have a relationship of grace. We have been loved with an everlasting love, and we have led by grace that love to know. And that's why this is so relevant. That's why it's so important for us not to just consider this to be just a story of a love between two people. Friends, you and I belong. We have been claimed by the bridegroom. We are his by faith. And we have entered into a relationship of grace with him. And that's why tonight we can have that confidence in the dark world of which we are a part. That like the saints through the ages, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Yeah. Thou the fount of life, thou the fount of living art. The reality of knowing this relationship of grace and growing in faith with him. And of course, that was truly wonderful. Then there was the joy in each other's presence. We find that in verses 3 to verse 6. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. He has taken me to the banquet hall in his banner over me with love. There is joy in each other's presence here. I delight, the woman says, to sit in his shade. His fruit is sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and the banner over me is love. Isn't that wonderful? To be in his presence. To be in the presence of Jesus. To grow in faith and knowledge of him. And that's the reality of it. The reality is that when we enter into relationships with one another, husband and wife, relationships in families, siblings and friends, we know that those relationships sometimes can have difficult times. And that is referred to later on when he speaks about the little foxes coming in to try to destroy the relationship. No, because of that relationship, we grow in faith and knowledge together. We overcome those obstacles and those difficulties that we might meet along the way. But to be in his presence, to be at his feet. Remember the woman with the potion of oil who washed Jesus' hair with her feet. That was an expression of love, to be in his presence. Yeah. You know, and the reality of those who in the time of Jesus came to him and found in him to be their refuge and strength. The hope that the woman in adultery had, that she was forgiven for her sins. The woman at the well of Samaria who came and drew water from that well and proclaimed that she had met with the Messiah. Simon Peter, to whom shall we go with you, are the words of eternal life. That's the relationship of being in his presence. And if sometimes in this world of which we are a part, we feel that life is not with us, not fair to us, it is Jesus who offers rest, nourishment for our soul. And in this world of pressure and exhaustion, Jesus invites us into the shade, to come under his umbrella of care, to be with him and to grow with him. And then, as the word says today, the fruit, the sweet to my taste, how much more wonderful are the words of Jesus than any of the promises the world can give you tonight? How much more wonderful are the words of Scripture? Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. The upper room, peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. The night before the cross, don't be afraid anymore. You're in my care. You're in my presence. And the banner over us is love. Yeah. The banner. Something in which we can go to find protection and shelter. The banner over us is love. That is what the experience of this word tells us tonight. and an experience that we can know in our own lives, and we trust and believe in him. The words of Elijah, "Oh, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him." Friends, let's find in Jesus all that we need tonight. Let's know that when the dark hour comes of bereavement or illness or infirmity, we are under the banner of love. Let's remember that this love is so profound. We're speaking here, in a sense, of physical, romantic love. Yes, it's there, but there's much more that emerges from it in terms of what the Word of God is saying to us through this relationship. We can know that peace. We come into the banquet and the joy of his abundant love when we trust and believe in him. The things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Where do we go for rest? Where do we go for peace tonight? When we put the news on tonight and see the terrible things that are happening in the world, we can intercede, we can pray, of course we can. But we can turn the news off tonight and we can just say, "Lord, I trust you. Lord, I know that you are in control. Lord, I know that you, because of your love for me, I'm able to sit in your shade. Like this woman was able to sit in the shade of Solomon, I'm able to come to you. Roi mer hedd na oer y byd amdano. Y nefol hedd a daith trwy ddwyfol oes. Pan fyddo'r don ar fenaid gwan yn curo, mae'n dawel gyda'r Iesu wrth y groes." I was preaching in Salem, Llangyfelach, this afternoon, where Yvonne and I were married 51 years ago. And I reminded the congregation, I was speaking about covenant grace. I said, 51 years ago I sat in that chapel, in the big seat, and we made those vows of faithfulness to one another. So far, everything's okay. Yeah. Isn't it wonderful? Relationships. I know that we go through life, and the problems and concerns and anxieties can come, but you're under the banner of love. That covenant, we've entered into covenant with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Ah, isn't that wonderful to know tonight? In the midst of the darkness and the evil world in which we live. So there was the beauty of belonging. There was the joy of his presence and peace. And then there's the call to rise. We find that later in the chapter. "Listen, my lover. Look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My lover is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beauty one. Come with me." That's what he says. Come with me now. We've joined together in this covenant of grace and love. We've borne each other. We've shared with each other in all the fruits of our married life together. We are celebrating our love, the joy we have found in one another. Let's go now, because the winter is past and the rains are over. Flowers are appearing in the field now. And that's the everlasting love, the joy that we know and the certainty that we can know when we go with Christ, when we make that walk with him. He describes winter passing, flowers blossoming, birds singing. It's a season of new life. Christ calls us from the spiritual winter into renewal. The season of dryness and grief is over. Come away. The seasons are changing. And that's what Christ invites you and I to experience as his children. In the dark, dank world in which we live, we walk in the security of his love and his care. Dyma gariad fel, this is love vast as the ocean. It's a love that leads and guides. Lead kindly light amid the encircling gloom. Lead thou me on. What is Solomon saying here? Saying to his beloved. He's saying, come with me now. Come with me into the life that lies before us. Because the time of worry and concern is over. And we have entered now into a new covenant of grace. And we see the beauty of that around us. Loved with everlasting love. Led by grace, that love to know. There's a hymn we sing. The flowers seem more beautiful than ever. The sky above is brighter blue. Why? Because Christ is in our lives. Because we have beheld the glory of God in him. And the seasons of our lives can be up and down. But now we have a companion. We have a helper. We have a guide. The one to whom we have gone to in hours of need and sorrow has not let us down. He has given us that hope, that joy, that peace that the world cannot begin to offer. Do you know, dear friends, what we have tonight is so precious. What we have tonight is a gift of God's grace. What we have tonight really gives us that confidence that we can look at a world out there where it is winter, but know that we are people of the spring and the summer because we have beheld the beauty of Jesus. We have seen him, the author and perfecter of our faith. We have seen him coming to the world of his creation. We have seen the beauty of love, healing, forgiving sinners, granting to those who had felt that they were in the periphery of society the assurance that they were loved, ensuring that little children, a little child who brought five loaves of fishes was fed 5,000, never disappointing anyone, coming to Bethany and raising Lazarus from the dead and saying, I am the resurrection and the life. What wonderful grace we stand in tonight. What hope we have in Christ that the world cannot begin to offer. And that's why, that's why we can look at this word and find that confidence and hope. So Christ leads us tonight. He invites us into this rest and into this joy. He calls us into a new life. He helps us to guard ourselves from the little foxes that we hear of here at the bottom, the temptations of the world. Those things that seek to destroy that which is of God. No, he's dealt with them. They can flee because we know Christ as our Saviour, our Lord and our friend. Because of that, we can face each new tomorrow with that renewed confidence and hope. So, what can we say about this book? As I said in the beginning, there's much here that we can say. But we can say much more of its meaning, of what it means to know Christ and to know his love, and to know that we are redeemed by the grace and the love of God. I can't help thinking of Simon Peter meeting with Jesus after the resurrection, you remember. And Jesus said to Simon Peter, do you love me? Of course, I love you, Lord. 3 times. And finally Jesus said to him, if you love me, then feed my flock. Feed my people. What did he mean by that? Food gives nourishment, growth. Food is good for the body. But the spiritual food we have here is for the soul. That which is of eternal worth. Because we're not only for now, but for eternity. One day we will pass into his very presence and see him face to face. Or we will see the fullness of that love. But for now, feed my flock. We need to be fed on the word. We need to be reminded of the wonderful love of God. We need to remember that we are loved with an everlasting love. And we need to know that despite who we are and our failings and everything there is, like this woman, we might feel inadequate, but we are loved. And we are loved with an eternal, passionate love that comes from the heart of God. The cross is the final declaration of that love. And so tonight we come, in our frailty and in our weakness, knowing that we are loved. That's the promise of the Song of Songs. And that's God's promise to you and I tonight, in the darkness and the evil of the world in which we live. So, dear friends, let's celebrate that tonight. Let's hear these wonderful words of assurance once again and be sure of it. My lover is mine and I am his. He browses among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadows flee. Turn, my lover, and be like a gazelle or like a young stag on the rugged hills. My dove is the cleft of the rock in the hiding place of the mountainside. He is the one, my lover, my friend. The flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. Amen.